ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
My name is Ross Ainsworth. I'm the Executive Officer of the Northern Territory Buffalo Industry Council, and very happy to be looking at these beautiful buffaloes today.
Yeah, after what's been a bit of a challenging year for the buffalo industry in the Northern Territory, tell us about what's in front of us here at the Berrimah Export Yards.
I think there's about 800 feet of buffalo here, and pity you can't put a video on, but they're all heads in the feed trough and they're looking great. They're very calm, they're relaxed, they're all eating right up next to the people. So a beautiful line of buffaloes to go to feedlots in Indonesia. And the thing that has probably kicked us along is that as the cattle prices have gone up, and recently very significantly, gradually the importers have said, well, you know, the price is pretty high, but if we take some buffaloes at a lower price, then that will help us sort of just take the edge off our margin and or improve our margin, because these are significantly cheaper than the cattle,
and
especially right now.
Can you give our audience a little sense on the difference?
Ballpark half price. Not quite half price. But so the feedlotters, their market is not huge for these animals because they need to build it up. But it's getting stronger and stronger, and the more they get these animals, the more they introduce them to their butchers and the butchers' customers. I'm sure that the demand will grow quite strongly. It was 10,000 a few years ago. This year we're probably guessing at around 6,000. Last year it was only 4.5 or 5, so we're on the way up and heading. I'd be happy if we could get 10,000 in out again next year. I'd like to get a lot more, but I think 10 is a good start for next year, or a good forecast.
You were just in Indonesia. What are you hearing about buffalo demand?
So it's all about price, and our Indonesian customers are extremely price sensitive, and so as the beef price goes up, the buffalo price looks more attractive. They already have Indian buffalo meat, which is pretty low quality, frozen, and that costs about 100,000 rupees, say 10 bucks a kilo in the wet market. And the cattle beef from our Australian cattle after being fed costs about 13 bucks a kilo. And these animals here, the meat coming off these animals here goes in between there somewhere.
They sit,
I think,
in
it's
the
about
middle.
About 11 bucks, something like that. So they get a fresh product that's much better quality, plus they get the benefits of all of the offal, the hide, the bones. The Indian buffalo meat is bone out, frozen, that's it. So these animals, you can make quite a bit of money off all the offal and the byproducts.
And money off the hide, can you tell me that story?
Yeah, so most of the world, the hide prices for cattle and anything else are really weak at the moment. But in Indonesia, instead of potato chips, or as well as potato chips, they use both cattle hide and now buffalo hide, and slice it up very thinly, and I guess they do it in hot oil, and it comes up as this bubbly, it's more like you would have seen a pig skin.
Yeah.
Pork crackling. Well, the hide comes up like that, and it's very popular. And
have you tried it, Ross?
I have. Oh, yeah, well, it's on the table in shops. It's always there in packets. So, but it tastes just like another chip. It's quite good. And for an otherwise waste product, and the buffalo's hide is usually close to double the weight of a cow hide. Their front is built genetically for fighting, and so it's very, very thick in the front. And traditionally, they used to make things like stirrup leathers out of buffalo hide because it's such a strong hide.
If you're tuning in, this is the Country Hour, and I'm speaking to Ross Ainsworth from the NT Buffalo Industry Council. Today we're at the Berrimah Export Yards checking out a big pen of buffalo that are headed to Indonesia. These guys in front of us, when they get over to Indonesia, Do they spend as much time in the feedlots over there as the Brahman cattle, or are they sort of ready to slaughter?
It's a mix. They can do both. Because the price is relatively low, they can sell that animal not long after it's there and end up with a margin, or they can feed it on and get a bigger margin from a larger animal. So you can't do that with cattle. Cattle have to be fed in order to get into a profitable situation. These are much more flexible for the feedlotter, which is another reason why they're happy to take buffaloes. It just gives them that bit extra flexibility.
So there's demand there for them at the moment. Is there much buffalo producers can do at the back end of a year to get numbers towards the port?
Well, they're all probably out there doing it right now, going as long as they can. They know that there's a couple of exporters, Patrick at Ace, and Austrex is buying some. So that demand will probably be there, I suspect, longer than the catching can continue into as the weather goes off and it gets too hot and too wet. But if all things being equal, I think this was planned to be about the last shipment, but now there's another one after that, and possibly, depending on supply, could be another one after that.
Just looking at this pen in front of us, it's a mixture of what I would call the swamp buffalo, and there's a few riverines in here as well. Does the end customer care about the type?
No, not that I've heard yet. Basically, once their shirt's off, they're all the same.
Yep.
I'm not sure if their hide's any different. The head looks as though it might be bigger. But they use all of the, you know, the brains, the cheeks, the tongue, you know, nothing is wasted. Absolutely nothing is wasted.
So next year, if you could have your wish list for this industry, Ross, what would you love to see happen for the industry and your members?
So there's two missing links at the moment. We've got the Arnhem Land with plenty of buffaloes. We've got catchers that are sort of lined up and potentially ready to go. We've got exporters ready to take them. What we're missing now is a strong demand in the abattoir. So no matter what demand we have for live export, a lot of animals aren't suitable for live export. Too old, you know, too pregnant, too big, all sorts of, probably. If you get a yard of mixed buffalo, you probably might get, for live export, really stretching it, maybe 50 to 60%. So there's 40% that have got to go to slaughter. And at the moment, Rum Jungle is our only significant abattoir here, and they're really, at this stage, not taking any significant amounts. So we need one or more abattoirs. Mm-hmm. To take those animals. The other thing we need is a dedicated buffalo yard. So you bring all these animals out of the bush, and they need quite a lot of work. As you can see, they're dehorned, they've got to be ear tagged and separated, preg tested. There's a lot of work to go on, and these cattle yards aren't designed for buffalo. And when they turn up out of the bush, they're pretty lively. So these beautiful yards here can take a bit of a battering. So you need a designated, to do it properly, we need a designated buffalo processing yard where the catchers can bring all of these animals in and we'll process them there, and then they can go on to their various destinations.
Anyone talking about doing that?
Oh, there's a lot of talk. Mm. We haven't seen that. Everyone knows what to do, and we're just short of $500,000 to make it happen. So if you see anyone around with a checkbook, let me know.
It's been great to stand here next to some buffalo and have a chat to you today, Ross. Thanks for your time.
And quietly, you can't hear peep out of them. They're just enjoying their lunch.
Not a moo to be heard.
Yeah.
Thanks for your time.
Hopefully I'll have some good news for you next year when someone comes up with a check.
That is Dr. Ross Ainsworth from the NT's Buffalo Industry Council. He was speaking to me at the Berrima Export Yards just outside of Darwin, which is really busy at the moment. There's plenty of cattle there. There's plenty of buffalo. And I'm pretty sure for the first time ever, there's also a pen of brown Swiss dairy cattle. Now, where are they from and where are they going? I spoke to Greg Pankhurst, who is in Lampung at the moment, to find out.
Yeah, so the story, Matt, is as most of your listeners would be aware, that Indonesia has undertaken quite a big program to supply milk to its school children. So there's 90 million school children in Indonesia, and President Prabowo has come to the table and said he wants to give every one of those kids a couple of hundred mils of milk at least a couple of times a week. Now, most of the milk to Indonesia comes in imported form, so in powdered fortified forms, but great government initiative and a very challenging government initiative to produce milk locally. So Juang Jaya, CPC Juang Jaya and Dicky Adiwaso have already imported 50 Friesian cows from southern Australia, and they're currently milking in the little dairy there in Lampung at the moment, and they're getting 22 litres, 25 litres a day, some up to 30 litres. So in quite warm conditions, the cows are going well. Anyhow, we've sort of looked at what could we do to maybe reduce the heat stress on some of these animals, or produce a new breed, or bring in a different breed that didn't have the as much heat stress as the Friesians. So we did a bit of research around, and I live in Brisbane, and I live up in a little bit of a dairying area there called Dayborough. And there's a guy there, a guy called Joe Bradley, who has a couple of hundred brown Swisses there, and he milks a couple of hundred brown Swisses every day. So I went and saw them, and look, they get 40 degrees there. They're at 38, 40 degrees there at the moment. And I went and saw him and said, can you sell me a few brown Swiss to take to Indonesia? And so we did a deal with him. And then Dicky Adiwaso gained approval from the Indonesian government for Juang Jaya to be the first importer of brown Swiss into a closed system. So that'll be the first actual importation of the brown Swiss breed into Indonesia. So these are registered animals.
Yep, yep.
And so they'll head over here in on about the 17th, 18th of November.
So they are brown Swiss heifers. Currently in Darwin, though, getting ready for their boat trip.
They are that. So there's 15 from 16 from Queensland, so just near Brisbane. And then there's 13 from down at Singleton at the Beanley Brown Swiss stud down there. So they're all registered heifers. And look, they've went from Singleton to Dayborough to Rockhampton, and they had a few days in Rockhampton. We brought these animals through an agent in Rocky called Robert Murray, and he's done a great job. And then they've gone from Rocky to Charters Towers to Cloncurry, and they had a week in Newcastle Waters with the crew there at Newcastle Waters, and now they're out there with Brooke and Ben at Berrima. And so they've travelled very well. We've given them lots of rests along the way. But as you saw yesterday, they look in great condition, and we're looking forward to seeing them over here in Indonesia in the next week or so.
What do you hope this could be the start of for people who are in this business of breeding this type of dairy cattle in particular?
Look, so far, into touch wood, it's all going great. You know, we've had no issues and they've travelled very well, and the crew over here at JJA are well prepared for them, and everything's ready for them to arrive. It's obviously not the traditional way that one would bring cattle into or dairy cattle into Indonesia. Traditionally, they're flown out of Sydney. But via boat, to date, it certainly will be an option going forward. We probably wouldn't do it any later than November. We'd probably try to do it a little bit earlier. But look, they've handled conditions well. All going according to plan, should be good.
And what's the setup over there at the moment, Greg, in terms of when these brown Swiss cattle are milked? What's the time then from being milked to being served up to school kids?
Within 24 hours. So the Juang Jaya operation has got a little 6-head milking parlour.
Yep.
And they're milked twice a day, and then that milk is pasteurised through their own pasteurisation unit, and then either sent out to the kitchen. So the Juang Jaya operation serves a lot of kitchens in the Lampung area, and it's either sent out in bulk to those kitchens as a pasteurised milk bulk to the kitchens,
Or they also package their own milk as well in cups, so 115 milliliter cups, or a litre pouches.
Could these cattle be bred in the Northern Territory? Would it be worthwhile doing?
Yeah, I probably a bit hard to say now what's going to happen there in regard to numbers required. Obviously, the Indonesian government is very keen to bring in more dairy cattle. So, look, if they are successful, and as I said earlier, the JJAA has exclusive right to import these and try these at the moment. So they'll also be bringing in some genetics. So they'll be bringing in some semen and embryos as well. So, look, it's a very, very it's a big program. It's ambitious, but certainly well worth trying, especially in regard to, you know, assisting the Indonesian government in their milk program.
All the best with it, Greg, and appreciate you sharing the story with our audience. Thanks so much.
No problem.
That's Greg Pankhurst, representing Lampung Livestock and Juang Jaya in Indonesia. So there you go, brown Swiss dairy cattle hanging out in Darwin at the moment, soon to be on a ship, though, to Indonesia. I can tell you, these animals, these heifers, they're beautiful. They're cute and they are very, very photogenic. And that's why you'll see them this weekend on Landline.
This week on Landline, the menace of feral pigs.
They can take your potential production and halve it. Pigs can do a lot of damage and they do a lot of damage to country.
That's Landline, Sunday 12:30 on ABC TV and iView.